चैव नरोत्तमम् दिवं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयं वीरयत् ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So it's 425 and what text number? 25, 26? Okay. Tam aha lalitam viraha tamaha lalitam viraha savrida smitta shobanam savrida smitta shobanam savrida smitta shobanam snigdena an apanga pukena snigden apanga pukena snigden apanga pukena sprista pramod brahmad bruva Tamaha lalitam vira Savrida smita shobanam Snigdena panga apunkena Sprista pramod brahmad bhurva Boye, bolo Tamalitam vira Tamalitam vira Saridam Shuta Shobhanam Snigdena Naka Pumkena Vrishtas Purena Taparva Maharaji? Tamam Lalitam Vira Savidya smita shobanam Snigdena panka pukena Tamaha lalitam viru Smavira smita shobanam Dena panka pukena Vista pratena vam baba Tamam lalitam vira Savridasvita sobanam Dena vira obeka Vista man Come unto her, aha, addressed, Lalita, very gently, Viraha, the hero, Savrida, Vrishinas, Smita. Smiling. Shobanam. Very beautiful. Snigadena. By sex desire. Apanga Pukena. By the arrow of glancing. Spristaha. Thus pierced. Prema Ud Brahmat. Exciting love. Bruva. By the eyebrows. Paranjana, the hero, became attracted by the eyebrows and smiling face of the very beautiful girl, and was immediately pierced by the arrows of her lusty desires. When she smiled shyly, she looked very beautiful to Paranjana, who, although a hero, could not refrain from addressing her. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Every living entity is a hero in two ways. When he is a victim of the illusory energy, he works like a great hero in the material world as a great leader, politician, businessman, industrialist, etc. And his heroic activities contribute to the material advancement of civilization. One can also become a hero by being master of the senses. Yeah? A Goswami. Material activities are false heroic activities, whereas restraining the senses from material engagement is great heroism. However great a hero may be in the material world, he can be immediately conquered by the lumps of flesh and blood known as the breasts of a woman. In the history of material activities, there are many examples, like the Roman hero Antony, who became captivated by the beauty of Cleopatra. Similarly, a great hero in India named Baji Rai became a victim of a woman during the time of the Maharashtrian politics, and he was defeated. From history, we understand that formerly politicians used to employ beautiful girls who were trained as Vishakanya. These girls had poison injected into their bodies from the beginning of their lives, so that in due course of time they could become so immune to the poison and so poisonous themselves that simply by kissing a person they could kill him. These poisonous girls were engaged to see an enemy and kill him with a kiss. Thus, there are many instances in human history of heroes who have been curbed simply by women. Being part and parcel of Krishna, the living entity is certainly a great hero, but due to his own weakness, he becomes attracted to material features. Krishna Bahir Mukahanya Boga Banchakari Nikatastana Maya Tari Japatiya Dare. Instead, in the Prema Vivarta, that when a living entity wants to enjoy material nature, he immediately becomes victimized by the material energy. The living entity is not forced to come into the material world. He makes his own choice, being attracted by beautiful women. Every living entity has the freedom to be attracted by material nature or to stand as a hero and resist the attraction. It is simply a question of living entities being attracted or not being attracted. There is no question of his being forced to come into the material energy. One who can keep himself steady and resist the attraction of material nature is certainly a hero and deserves to be called a Goswami. Unless one is master of his senses, he cannot become a Goswami. The living entity can take one of two positions in the world. He may become a servant of his senses, or he may become a master of them. Becoming a servant of his senses, one becomes a great material hero. And becomes master of his senses, he becomes a Goswami or spiritual hero. So, Prabhupada ki. Heroism ki. No. Any comments? I was planning on listening to the class today. Questions, comments? It's okay? No? 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 Just one point doesn't come up here? No? Origin of the jiva. Yeah. Because some people say, well, if we were in the spiritual world with Krishna, we were enjoying so much bliss that we couldn't possibly have come to the material world. You know? But this is like saying a heroin addict. He's so addicted to the pleasure from his heroin that he can't stop because there's too much pleasure. But he has free will. No, that's his point here, is if you have free will, then you're not either being controlled by pleasure or pain, either way, or ignorance. You know? So Prabhupada is saying, you always have a choice. You're not being forced to come here or being forced to stay in the spiritual world. Either way, no? It's your choice. Yeah? Yeah, yes, sir.
What does Krishna ask Arjuna? What if Arjuna asks Krishna, by the way, what is it, this force of telling the living entity to act, seemingly by force?
Yeah, because once you surrender, you are forced. If you submit her to Maya, well, then how does she force you? You know, by, lust. Yeah. The first thing is to become contemplate the objects of the senses. Then there's attraction. Then, different levels like that. What he's saying here, Prabhupada says, it is simply a question of living entities being attracted or not being attracted. There is no question of being forced to come into contact with the material energy. So you make that choice. Yeah. I'm not responsible. I didn't do it. The devil made me do it. Yeah.
We talked before about this. We talked before about the free will and the explanation of his karma and what we're doing and some of the passion and ignorance in the sense that when you're just more ignorant, there's more control.
Yeah. Some chance. And time is karma. Karma is time. Destiny. It's all the same thing. Different ways of looking at it. So you make the choice. So you go to the amusement. You go to the amusement park, Maya's fun world, like that. You don't have to go into Maya's fun world. Then once you go in, you kind of walk around, but you don't have to take any rides. That's all. Like you might say, my booty. You know what's going on, but you don't really get involved in the thing. But okay, here's one. The big vomit roller coaster. Says right on it. It's going to twist your stomach and you're going to, everything else, horrible, There's so many, down in San Jose, I don't know, here, it was the Great America. They have these things. There's Top Gun. I never have gone to these things. One of them, you lie flat on your stomach and the thing like this, and other people, and you go through this whole thing like that, on and on. I'm suffering, but you made your choice. And I guess even informed, beforehand, we mentioned that yesterday. First is just the amusement park, which is the body with all the different attractive features like a garden for enjoyment, But as soon as you get in the place, you begin to figure this is not a good place for a brahmachari. It's not a place to actually enjoy life. You see people coming off the rides, with vomit all over their clothes and blood coming out of their noses. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is what? Then you see what's happening. And then you allow yourself to go on beyond that. Then you start talking, And after that, then there's touch, actual contact like that, And so, you can't blame Krishna. He forced me to do it. At that, No, we have free will. We can make our own choices in these things. But once you make the choice to get on the ride, then I want to be forced to enjoy this, and that's the mode of ignorance. And again, you can be a college professor and be very supporting the ecology movements and all these very nice things, But at heart, you're in the mode of ignorance, but your mind and senses are in goodness and these things. So you're being forced to do these things to be good, right? Yeah, ignorance and the modes can be different combinations in the sense, in the possessions, the senses, the sense objects, the senses, the mind, the intelligence. So the ignorance, you're just forced, whatever it is. And if it's kind of all obvious and you're a plant or a vegetable, you have no choice. You just sit there, And whatever comes, you get it. Yeah. Again, the mode of passion, it's just, there's some possibility. You can see the possibilities, but it's very difficult to realize them because your nature is so, passionate. Yeah, and finally in goodness, there's some, you can't go over there and you can't go over there, but within these limits you have your choices. So you just got off this ride, now that's your choice. Which ride do you want to get on, or do you want to go out? Makes sense. Actually, karma and reincarnation are kind of the most common questions usually. One time we were in a restaurant in Bolivia, in La Paz, and they had invited all these different people from different presses and newspapers, and a lot came because Hari Sankirtan had two newspapers himself. He was running two newspapers. One was just a regular daily newspaper about, you know, what's happening. The other one was just all about health. Different health things, and every day publishing a newspaper. So, weekly. I think it was daily. Different things, you know. And so then, you know, he was well known amongst the press. So there were a lot of people there. And it came down to the same thing as again and again, because basically they were trying to like comparing their Catholic, comparing the ideas that the Catholic Church had taught them about right and wrong and everything else, you know, and trying to solve these. And they weren't satisfied with the explanations they'd gotten. You know. Like I mentioned before, one devotee, Jagan Mangal, who's from Peru, he's a Pujari in San Jose for a long time. So he was walking around one time, and one Christian guy was preaching to him, was a Mormon. And he gave him a movie, and he took it home and watched it. It was very, very well done, the costumes and everything. It was right after Christ had disappeared, and Thomas, who was very doubtful, was saying, well, how can you believe this and that? And they were all saying again, his sister was there, her husband, his people, and they were having lunch, and then she was saying, well, you just got to believe, you know, it was just blind faith, you know, blind faith. So 434, but probably says, blind faith is condemned. An absurd inquiry. Yeah. So faith means you're faithful to what you know. You have knowledge, not your choice, you're going to use it or not. Right? Yeah. One time I was on the altar, and usually there's three pujaris. The altar is like, you know, three times or twice as big as the altar here in Berkeley. You know, Gaudiya, big, small, and then Jagannath, big and small, and Radhagopinanda and Govindaji, etc., etc. So usually, you know, after the Aartika in the evening, the door is closed, and there's three pujaris to take care of the three altars. But one pujari never called us, didn't show up, so two of us had to change everything. We had this experience, been a pujari before. So, you know, normally when your timing is right, it's very nice. You're changing Krishna's clothes, you're chanting, and it's very nice associating with Krishna, serving him. But this time you had to rush everything, and it's very, you know, very difficult. So finally I came off the altar, and other pujari was doing the last Aartika, and I came off totally, you know, lusty. You know, I haven't been able to eliminate the energy in my body in serving Krishna, this kind of thing. So it builds up. So you feel, you know, angry. You know, so I was cursing the other pujari, didn't show up. And I said, okay, I'm going to go to the prasadam room and eat halava and puris and drown my sorrow in self-medication. You know. But I didn't want to do it, because then I wouldn't be able to get up in the morning, I had to nicely enchant my rounds, you know. So I was praying to Krishna, please help me, you know, because I couldn't control my senses. It was just beyond me at this point. They're kind of here like that, you know. So then, ring, 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 okay. The, you know, so the payphone rang in the lobby, and somebody stuck their head through and said, oh, Hanuman Swami, it's a Hanuman Brahmachari, it's a phone call for you. You know, so then I could see that Krishna made his adjustment, because now I had some engagement for my senses, I could do something, you know, or else I could make the choice and go ahead and eat halava, you know, like that, you know. So halava, telephone, it was my choice, and I could see that, you know. And so finally I chose that time to go answer the telephone, you know. And it was when there was a devotee, he was living away from the temple for some time, he wanted to buy a full set of Chaitanya Charitamritas, so I sold it to him, got it. And when it went to the prasadam room, there was nothing left, like a little piece of halava and one tulsi leaf, like that, just like that, you know. And it was still feeling a little agitated, but now it was like, okay, just go to sleep, you'll forget about it, you know. And I got up, channeling around and everything else, you know. So this kind of, that's what happens, right, you know. But at a certain point, yes, not your choice. Another time, Sunday on the pujari in the temple in San Francisco, a little temple, when Hansaduda took the big temple out of ISKCON, we started a small ISKCON temple in San Francisco. So I was a pujari at noontime, was going to Thai, and somebody cooked a very nice offering, and I was looking at it as I was offering it, and, you know, for Krishna, not for me, you know. But I knew that, you know, when everything was over, I was going to eat too much, you know, and just, you know, like that. So all during the Aartika, I was using all the tricks I knew to control my mind, purify my senses. When I came off, you know, for example, if you look at it all and just divide it up very nicely when you're clearing the trays, it also minimizes your passion because you're seeing it all and adjusting it nicely, and still, you know, I ate too much. You know? But I could see that I had really tried my best, you know, to control my senses and act properly. You know? So then, after eating too much, then I didn't suffer. My body suffered, you know, but I didn't suffer. I was kind of observing how my body was having this acid indigestion and this kind of stuff from the reaction, what it did. Because I can see I didn't do that. You know? I was trying to control these senses, an idiot, you know, donkey, you know. But the ass was, you know, just too stupid, you know. You know? And so, but I could also see that Krishna is protecting me. You know? And I could also see that in the future my donkey would be more intelligent next time around. You know? So it's, you know, so, you know, even though you maybe, Prabhupada talks about neophyte pure devotees, because they're purified, but they just, you know, it takes some time to purify the senses and stuff like that. You know? And if we're trying our best, then Krishna, well, okay, whatever happens is now it's Krishna's arrangement, somehow or other. It's a part of his external energy. You know, he's doing this, you know. Whatever he wants to happen can happen. Like that. So you become famous or you become insulted or whatever happens, right? It's not my responsibility. Krishna's doing this. You know? All during the Mahabharata, so many things were happening and people were realizing that this Krishna wants this to happen this way, that way. You know? And he's the supreme controller. It appears bad. Before the battle started, Krishna went to Bhishma. And he said, you know, Pitamaha, Grandpa, I want to ask some charity from you. You're Kshatriya. And he said, well, all right, Vasudeva, what is it? You know? Yeah, everybody knows this game of dice is going to be some kind of, you know, dirty thing, you know, like that. And so I think when things are going on, at some point they're going to ask you to make a decision about whether it's dharma or not, whether it's like righteous or not. So I want you to promise me you won't say anything. So Bhishma said, all right, Krishna. You know? So the whole thing happened this way and that way, and Draupadi's finally being dragged into the assembly and appealing for people to protect her, to Drona and other people like that. And finally it does come, and Duryodhana is saying, well, this is a game you agreed to play, and now this is happening. And apostate. You wagered her. You made her the wager. So how can she criticize? Was she wagered before or after? Wife is always under the control of the husband, you know, there's all this stuff. So finally it comes to Bhishma, and, you know, well, what is it? You know, you've got to make your decision like that. You're the eldest person, we all accept your decision. So he's ready to say this is totally adharma, you should just stop this. You know? But then he remembers that Krishna asked him not to make a decision. And he smiles and he says, I can't say. And everybody thinks that he means he can't distinguish like what is right and wrong like that. But he is himself, he's thinking, okay. Vasudeva is playing his game, you know, a game of chess with his pieces like that, with his toys. You know. So it appears like a very nasty, horrible situation, but somehow or other, Krishna has something in mind here. You know, like that. Yeah? So, you know, it's happening. There's our free will and there's Krishna's will. Okay? So, going to be a hero? I don't know, I feel sometimes. Yeah. And the thing is, too, one big thing is, well, you know, oh my God, I couldn't control my senses, and I've started eating halava and puris and sabji and mahaprasadam. Like that. Well, to hell with it all. I mean, just make a pig of myself then and just completely fall down like that. You know, if I'm going to do this, you know. No, but you can also then, you know, struggle at that level. Okay, I can't control my senses completely, but at least let me just, like, you know, limit myself to this and that, you know. That's what I was doing. For example, Prabhupada says, you want to eat a lot, eat one thing. You want to eat a little, eat a variety. So I was trying to control myself after the noon offering. You know, I was just, okay, take a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little of that. Yeah, it minimizes it, but it's still, you know, I wasn't able. Yeah. So it's a battle, you know, a hero. It's a battle with Maya. Okay, so I can't be the, you know, be the perfect hero. I'm just going to abandon the battle. No, we're going to fall back, you know, fall back two trenches. And then, you know, it's not a perfect position, but it's a lot better than, you know, losing the whole side of the battlefield, you know, for Krishna. And then, yeah, okay, better. You learn something. You know, run away, like that. One devotee had trouble with his anger, another kind of gratification. And so whenever he would start becoming angry with devotees, then he would fight with them, he would become very disturbed, and he would go off and do something even worse, like that, out of the bad reaction. So he realized he had this very severe problem. Actually, he's a manic depressive person. He had this very severe problem. And so he started to have this angry thing towards devotees. After a while, somebody realized, he says, no, you never fight with devotees. You just literally run out of the ashram down the road like that. Because he realized, you know, learning how to conquer the senses. So, any comments? Suggestion? Over here, yeah. I lost control of my pages here. There you go. 1 second. No, but I realize it's the same thing, gross and subtle, it's the same thing, but it's just to realize that everything is enjoyable for Krishna. Like that, you know? And so that we're also enjoyable by Krishna. Oh, and we become transcendently seen by Krishna. That's our satisfaction. So taking prasadam, you know, using our anger, you know, relating to the opposite sex. It's all meant for Krishna's satisfaction. Like that. So you're thinking, well, you know, Prabhupada says you see a very beautiful girl, and you think, oh, you know, she should meet Krishna. You know, Krishna is a transcendental womanmonger. Womanmonger. You know, ironmongers and womanmongers. No, because Krishna can use all these, you know, feminine quality, mean music, dance, art, all these things, you know, enjoyment, you know. So then, no, he can come and do so many nice things for Krishna. You know? And then instead of, you know, having all the ladies laugh when I'm telling my jokes, ho, 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 oh, you're so intelligent, like that. You know? And they can all, you can see how they're all becoming very, very pleased hearing the Bhagavatam and, you know, things like that. Yeah? Yeah? So it's engaging everything in Krishna's service, you know, subtly and grossly. And, yeah? So the people are appreciating my big intellectual ability, they're appreciating, oh, Krishna is such an intellect. He wrote the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah? 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 It takes time, that's what I was saying. But it can go very quickly. You can make rapid progress. But still, yeah, some patience. It takes some time to understand, like, you know, what are my attachments, my nature, you know? Yeah. And then how are they supposed to be used properly, right? Yeah. Still thinking of it. See, one more verse here. Tamaha lalitam katvam. Who knows what the next purport will include? Okay, they're talking. Katvam kanjana pala sakshi kasyasihi kuta sati. Oh, he's talking to her. Imam uru parum biru kim shikir shashi shangshame. And my dear lotus-eyed, kindly explain to me where you are coming from, who you are, and whose daughter you are. You appear very chaste. What is the purpose of your coming here? What are you trying to do? Please explain all these things to me. The first aphorism of Vedanta Sutra is Atato Brahma Jignasa. In the human form of life, we should put many questions. But one should put many questions to himself and to his intelligence. In the various forms of lower life than human life, the intelligence does not go beyond the range of life's primary necessities. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Dogs, cats, and tigers are always busy to find something to eat or a place to sleep, trying to defend and have sexual intercourse successfully. In a human form of life, however, one should be intelligent enough to ask what he is, why he has come into this world, what is his duty, who is the supreme controller, what is the difference between dull matter and a living entity. Yeah? There are so many questions, and the person who is actually intelligent should simply inquire about the supreme source of everything. Atato Brahma Jignasa. The living entity is always connected with a certain amount of intelligence. But the human form of life, the living entity must inquire about his spiritual identity. This is his real human intelligence. It is said that one who is simply conscious of the body is no better than an animal, even though he may be in human form. Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sri Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham radhi sannivisto matah. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. in the animal form, the living entity is completely forgetful of his relationship with God. This is called apohanam, or forgetfulness. In the human form of life, however, consciousness is more greatly developed, and consequently the human being has a chance to understand his relationship with God. In the human form, one should utilize the intelligence by asking all these questions. This is Paranjana, the living entity, is asking the unknown girl where she has come from, what is her business, why is she present, etc. These are inquiries about atmatattva, self-realization. The conclusion is that unless the living entity is inquisitive about self-realization, he is nothing but an animal. So this is preliminary, right? You know, there's no answer to the questions yet. And he'll go on asking questions for two more verses, three more verses, four more verses, like that. Yeah. And who does the girl represent? The intelligence, yeah. So human being, we see this, we start growing up, we have intelligence. Yeah. And we can acquire intelligence, right? It's the little children, they're just asking questions, right? And their parents are just naturally answering questions. So you come with some intelligence. Prabhupada says you always have some intelligence, but in the mode of ignorance, our intelligence is absorbed into the senses. You know, it's there, but it's so absorbed with the senses you can't see it. It's like you have a pond, an agricultural pond, and some reeds start to grow in the pond. You have this experience. And after some time, there'll be no more water. There'll be some mud, but no more water. The water's still there, but it's all inside the weeds. Like that. Yeah? Yeah. So same way, if the intelligence is allowed to keep focusing again and again on different kinds of material tastes, smells, arrangements, complexes, hot fudge sundae with strawberry and chocolate ice cream, and a banana split with vanilla, strawberry, and chocolate, and caramel, and chocolate sauce, and tomato, it's like, these are all combination ways of combining, flavors and tastes for the senses to stimulate them like that. And after everything, some nice cafe au lait, and then I'll sleep, So all these different names, right, for all these types of sense gratification. Micron, it's a name for sense gratification, right? The whole thing is based on that, And so then, as the mind has become absorbed in all these complicated things for sense gratification, then the intelligence is still there, but it's completely absorbed in this. You see, almost nothing left, so that's an animal. So human being is, we start to develop, start to come out of the gross intelligence, out of the gross absorption. And at that point, you have just naturally have these questions. And then your society answers them according to their particular position, like that. And so then, they're saying a human being, kind of free will is there. If you don't complete the yoga course in one lifetime, then you come back. But it says that you're naturally attracted to the principles of yoga. I kind of like that. You're just trying so many things. I mean, so many options were there in my childhood. Just that option, that option, that option, that option. And I always liked to go to church. I was going there, and I was actually then appreciating different things, what they were able to offer, which, was something. In bookstores, we'd go there, and finally I ended up in psychology. It seemed like that was the actual application of any kind of philosophy they had about things, So you keep looking, right? And it's your choice, it's your spiritual development, again. So you're attracted to the principles of yoga, If Prabhupada had been a Muslim, we probably all would be Muslims now, right? Because he would be presenting Islamic philosophy in a completely pure, transcendental fashion like that, and would have appreciated that. See, there's choice in the human form of life. But if you don't take advantage of it, don't ask these questions, you're just an animal. Two-legged, dvipada pashu. You have all these calendars and stuff with animals doing things like human beings. All these dogs are sitting in a bar with beer and cigars and playing cards and stuff like that. Or ladies dressed up like very fancy dogs and stuff with their things like that. And it's so funny because it's just, it's so like, humor usually requires seeing the same thing from two perspectives to make something funny. And you suddenly see like that and attention's released. So you're looking at people like, wow, it is. It's like dogs, at that. Animals. How funny. So Buddha, same thing. Buddha just said, don't be an idiot, don't be an ass. Be Buddha, be intelligent. Stay in this intellectual platform and use it for self-realization. What is that? What is that, Buddha? I'm not going to tell you. You just try and figure it out yourself. So Buddha didn't tell the content or anything, but he was definitely pushing that human life is meant for self-realization. And following basic moral principles. Basically, this thing like that. Basic moral principles, and then use your intelligence for self-realization. He doesn't talk about any more than that in this purport. Atato Brahma Jignasa. But if you don't do it, then what happens? And again, many people, one devotee was working for General Electric, and he was just his whole education had just been a material education about life and being a decent person, so he had a family, he was working, and the company would invite different people to come and talk about different, spiritually educating topics like that. And it's so common. Many organizations do this, the Lions Club, many, Micron or something, I don't know, it's more degraded, but they have these benefits for their employees, either they invite people or else they themselves, they permit it. Like Microsoft, they permit these things to go on like that. You can use our campus and can't talk about religion, but you can talk about ethics, morality, and that kind of stuff, and cultural things and nature. So somebody, they invited somebody from, who was talking about Edgar Cayce. He was a famous American mystic, and he could cure people just by touching them and stuff, and he predicted so many things in the future which happened like that. So some kind of mystical potency. So the guy came and talked about him and these things and how these miraculous things happen. And so the devotee, what was his name, Rupa Raghunath, he said that was the beginning of his spiritual realization. That there was something more than matter, the satisfaction of matter. I'm unhappy because I ate too much, so I have to drink some 7-Up to help my digestion. Or I'm happy because I have a nice car. I don't feel good when I drive my car to work. I got to have a new car. I'm unhappy because, all these material things. So this first time you realize there was something more than the gross body, And then that was, and after that, it woke him up to that, but he was looking for things, So, going around, tossing out seeds, making opportunities, so many ways. I mean, when you go to work or anything, wear a sari. One devotee in Seattle, our Money for Your program was there. We're doing school shows. So the Seattle Children's Center had us there. It's a big event. About, 100,000 kids come within 1 week for the event. So we were doing a show in this ice rink. We had half of it blocked off, so it was 1,000 children for each show. And it was us and Jabakai, which was a Australian Aborigine show like that. It was really good. Yeah. Ours was good too. And they also had Chinese acrobats there someplace else. They were better. Actually, they were the best. Yeah. And so then, so then what it is basically the school district is the children pay $1. The school district pays $1, and some sponsor, some bank or something like that, pays $1. So each child is $3. So, each show was $3,000, and they gave us $1,000. And they kept $2,000, for the program. And then they go, they take their buses, they go there, and they sign up maybe to see two major shows, which is 2 hours, and a couple minor things, and go to some events, like face painting. We had a face painting thing, too. And then they have their lunch, and they go back in the afternoon like that, picnic lunch. So coming from some distance, right? Actually many places have these programs because they realize the educational system is inadequate. So the government supports these so many things. So one devotee, Bhakta Batsal, Rijabasi actually, he married an American girl, and his family was there in Seattle. And his daughter was about, 6 years old, 7 years old, and her school was going to go on one day, And she was telling him that she knew all these people and stuff like that. So that day she wanted to wear a sari, to school. And so he's talking to her. and he says, well, if you wear a sari to school, your little friends are going to tease you like that about dressing different. And she said, I don't care. I'm an Indian. Because his chest was, it was expanding and it was so proud, of being a Hindu like that. So, You can do it. I mean, you know, somebody say you go out in public and it's sorry, and people kind of looking at you, you're a strange dress, or you know, something. You know. But, using my experience, when I go like this, you know, 80% of the people in the world don't give a damn. It's like that. It's like, it's the modern world, everyone's nuts anyway, you know. You gotta dress the way you wanna dress. You know? I gotta do something anyway. It's most people in America, it's just, even like Boise, Idaho, but like Nashville, Tennessee, or people are so accustomed to like television and everything else. It's, you know, unless it's going on a lot or something, they just don't care. It's just something odd, you know. And, you know, and then 10% of the people, you know, have an interest like that. Like, what's going on? They're actually curious. They smile at you, and you can see they want to talk or something like that. Another 10% are kind of irritated like that, you know. And it's very rare. I mean, less than 1% of the people will come up and give you $100 like that. They do. Or else come up and insult you and talk to you verbally and scream and yell at you. You know, never screaming and yelling, but just say, what are you dressing like that for around here? Like that, you know. You know, people out here don't. People around here don't like this kind of thing. You know, it's not you. You know, it's very small. You know, so my experience, if you go out, like when did you go for Gopa Vrindapal? He had a button made up that said, "Ask me about Krishna." It's like that. Put a button around, and you know, people ask him about Krishna. You know, like that. So there's so many ways. You know, to get, because people are there. They want to, you know, the media, the communicate. Usually our experience with the Manipura program was we'd do like shows and people would tell us, well, you know, Dr. Singh, are you going to wear your Indian dress when you're announcing, or maybe it'd be better to wear a Western dress like that? So you'd ask them, well, does it bother you? I'd say, of course not. You know, but the other people, they might be bothered. You know, let's ask them. Does it bother you? No.
Oh, really?
You know? Because this is a situation, is the media, the communication creates this impression we're all secular, we don't like to talk about God, this kind of things. But that's not what everybody feels, you know. Everybody you talk to them, they think this is what everybody else thinks, but it's not. Everybody is, most people are just like interested in something, you know. It's a little different, okay, you know. Yeah. And so therefore, if you go out, you know, trying to, without disturbing the media and the communication, trying to create some opportunity for people to ask you about something, and you know, gonna party hard, puts a big pile of books on the table like that. You know, Vaishesha gonna say, stack a bunch of books, you know. Yeah? An opportunity. And so many times, you know, people, you know, just talk to you. And again, it's one bija, one experience, and that can be the, never thought about that. You know, even Indians will say that. Imagine, we aren't the body. I mean, Indians say that. Yeah, yes, yes, without.
I'll finish it.
Yeah.
Ingo, like 9, it was almost 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And the lady was on cashier and
doing yeah.
things, and she was just staring my face, and she said, "I don't want to stare at you, but I have Tilak and Bindi."
Ah, yeah, yeah.
So she was just looking at her, and I don't want to stare at you, but it's so beautiful. And I was thinking, oh my God, if I have card for tonight's show, then I would thank you. That time, sometimes I put the card
yeah,
on
yeah.
my
yeah.
purse, and I just believe that card, please come and see me and more things too.
Yeah.
It's so, I was thinking, I know, in night time, you know, maybe she's not very happy to see me, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's so beautiful, and no more. And
yeah.
No,
it's a variety. I mean, one devotee, especially focuses on distributing Tulsi beads. That's Richard Ottman, that's where he does Sankirtan. He goes out and distributing Tulsi beads, and then it says, it's just amazing. Some people just are so attracted, it's transcendental. Attracted. Like, what are these? Where are these from? That is the exact opposite. You know, they just don't want to touch them, you know, angry, you know? And they that's this kind of thing. Then he distributes books, depending on, like, the reaction to Tulsi. Our Manipura program was in Seattle also, another year. And the children come in, and then we had this also, they let us have a display of things for selling, you know, for income. We had these gopi dolls from Manipur. And they're very beautiful. Each one is handmade like that with the dresses and stuff like that. And most of them, I thought they were nice, you know, but they were like, I think it was, how much was it? It was $6 each or something like that. We didn't sell them, just didn't break them down. I don't know, $12 or something like that. It was $10, you know. Maybe $10, you know. And so then one girl was just so attractive, and she really wanted them, and she only had her lunch money, was like $1 or something. She had $1 for lunch, you know. So then she was like really just pushing, you know, cashing in all of her debts to all of her friends. You owe me for this and that, whatever. And finally she said, oh, almost crying, and other girls were crying because they had to sacrifice their lunch money and like that. So finally she got $10 together and bought them, and Jivanuga's wife wanted to sell them to her cheaper, but she just kind of couldn't do it. And I think we asked 12, and she said, well, only just give you 10 like that, you know. So she sat there in the show like this with the dolls like that, holding them like that, you know. It was just, you know, obviously it wasn't a material thing about their pretty or something. It was something this intense, you know. So, I mean, it's kind of like this. If you always have a book with you, you discover Krishna will make some opportunity. I was getting off, I was in a train station in, say, California, and this one guy was there. He was walked up to me, he had his backpack on and stuff. He said, "You a monk?" And I said, "Well, yeah," like that, you know, and stuff. He said, "You know, I was in university, I thought it was all crazy. I decided just to take off and travel around, like, you know, God adjust my life like that." And so I've been traveling for 2 or 3 days now and stuff like that. And so on, and his train was starting to leave, and I was, oh, I always have nectar instructions, I'm running after, he's hanging out of the train to give him the book like that. You know? So you always keep, you know, small books with you, with the address card, you know, and that's it. You know, Prabhupada will do the, you answer the questions better than we do. Yeah, yeah. So any final comments, questions? We're gonna, what time are we leaving today? 11:30? You'd be ready by 11:30, right? 12? 12. Walk on over. Drive over. Okay. Can I take my laser pointer? My memory stick? Maybe my Padapadma brochures? That's enough. So, Padapadma ki. Fire's my mantra ki. Human intelligence. God. Thank you.